Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Refuge and Strength. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Let us begin. O Lord, we come into your presence in worship and praise to receive the gifts you so freely give. Just as those who received the gift of a meal from your hand on the hillside in Galilee long ago, we come not because we ought, but because we may. Not because we are righteous, but because we are penitent. Not because we are strong, but because we are weak. Not because we are whole, but because we are broken. Lord, hear our prayers and bless us with your gracious forgiveness, so that we may live lives for you, nourished by your goodness and enabled by your Spirit. These and all things we pray together and in the silence of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Please remain standing and join with me to state that which we believe in the form of the Apostles' Creed. Let us begin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning's scripture reading comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms, chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. You have it in your bulletin. You can read along, or you just feel free to listen. It goes like this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Thanks be to God for this scripture.
Amen. Betsy, thank you. Our second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Let's again listen to God's word to us. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may know and be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, I pray that your word might help to shape and inform and inspire my words, and that my words might help to shape and inform and inspire and encourage us to follow after you. For it is through Christ our Lord we pray it. Amen. We are a people prone to action, aren't we? We are hardwired to do something. When we see a need, we try to meet it. When we see a problem, we try and solve it. When we see a gap, we try and fill it. And I believe that God has made us this way, to be active workers in his kingdom purposes, not passive observers, to be co-creators, if you will, participants, partners with God, using the minds and the talents and the resources that he has given to us. And in these ways, when we see the hungry, we feed them. When we see the naked, we clothe them. When we see the sick or imprisoned, we visit them. When disasters strike, as Terry spoke this morning, we move towards them to help. When pandemics attack us, we mobilize to eradicate them. We wear masks, we distance, we get vaccinated. As people of faith, we are ready and willing to fasten on this belt of truth to speak against falsehood and the breastplate of righteousness to combat injustice, to strap shoes on our feet to carry the gospel to an unreached people, to pick up our shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, lift up the sword of the Spirit. We are by nature, and some of us by nurture, a people prone to action. And that, by and large, is a good thing for us. There are countless stories, even here, among how we collectively as a church, as well as individuals in our church family, have through the years responded to needs. We have nearly 170 years of TAB need meeting stories to tell in this community and around the globe, including nearly 100 years ago, we moved out to this outlying corner of 34th and Central in order to meet the needs of families. Children primarily, in this fast-growing section of the city known as Mapleton Fall Creek, who were in need of Christian education. And the list through the years of things and programs and activities and ministries that we have conducted out of this place goes on, and all of that is good, because there is much good that needs to be done in this community, in our nation, in the world, and we are the ones called to do it. I believe that God has so called us and empowered us to identify with the needs of the people around us, be they spiritual needs or social needs, and to work to address them in his name. Our faith is biased towards getting involved in these issues and doing something about them. But maybe doing something should not always be our first response, should not be our knee-jerk reaction when a need arises. This morning, Betsy read for us Psalm 46, And despite the turmoil going on around him, which the psalmist will eventually explain to us, he begins by focusing our attention on God, reminding us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And through that lens, he begins reciting exactly what that trouble might be. The earth is changing. The mountains are shaking, the waters are roaring, the nations are in an uproar because kingdoms are tottering, and when he speaks, the earth melts. Through that lens, as we mentioned last week, we can see that the Psalms give us good language to use for our own prayer life, for our own worship experience, because without going into any detail, we know exactly what he's talking about, because we too have experienced our earth shaking beneath us, the mountains of our lives trembling, the waters around us roaring and foaming. We know what it's like to have our world turned upside down. And it can come in a very simple message. You're fired. Your cancer has returned. I want a divorce. You're being evicted. I'm sorry, but there's nothing more we can do. He didn't make it. You didn't get in. You're not welcome here. In those cataclysmic moments, we may not know what to do, but we think we need to do something. Or do we? Counterintuitive as it may sound, maybe the rabbit in Lewis Carroll's classic Alice in Wonderland was on to something when he said to a panicked Alice, "Don't just do something, stand there." Of course there's something that needs to be done. But perhaps it's not a something that is given for us to do, but rather for God to do before us. In the midst of the changes of our lives, the psalmist reminds us of this promise of our faith, that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And with that foundational promise, he opens the psalm, and then he closes it by saying, "So, be still, and know that I am God. Be still, and know that God is God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Another good couple of verses for us to commit to memory. It's a promise that holds on to us as we hold on to it. And in that instant, when we feel like we have to do something, perhaps that something might just be to stand still. This lesson is so important for us to learn and so difficult for us to learn and to put into practice. You see, when we see or think we see something that needs to be done, our default reaction is to do it, that we're the ones who are supposed to do it. And so often that has worked so well for us. And there are things that need to be done, things which need to be doing that we need to be about the business of doing. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and imprisoned, addressing issues of injustice and inequality. But even in our doing, we must also be mindful that our impulse towards activity may also be a sign of our hubris, our selfishness, our sinfulness, our pride, our need to be needed, our need to be in control, which largely leaves God out of that equation, or worse still, is an indication that we don't really need God at all, that we can handle this one on our own. So when we're called upon to act or to react, while our first instinct may be to do something, perhaps our better response or our more faithful response would be first to be still and wait, to just stand there and do nothing. But that pause of waiting is not a sign of inactivity. It's not a sign of neglect or indifference on our part, as some might assume. But rather, it is the recognition that the thing that needs doing is greater than our ability to do it. It's the non-action that readies us for the action God will call us to. I don't know how many of you are staying up way too late watching the Olympics, but have you noticed that every event, the athletes have a moment of pause before they go into action? Whether it's in a starting block or in a batter's position or you name the sport, watch. They pause not in inactivity, but in an activity that readies them for the action that they are about to take. And so our waiting is a sign that we are trusting God to act. And then, depending on His prompting, His leading, His guidance as to how we should act. So instead of just doing something, we willingly stand there and wait and watch and pray, trusting God's timing and empowering rather than our own. And then, when we finally feel that call to act, our action arises not out of reflex, not out of impulse, but of our having waited for God to lead us. When we choose to be still, we are acting out of the confession of our faith that God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble, and that He is, in fact, acting even when we are not, in ways which perhaps we simply cannot see or understand. So while we wait and watch and pray, we are living out of the conviction that God is God, and the acknowledgement that we are not. So think with me for a moment, or perhaps think with me for a lifetime. How would it change your life, your relationships, your mental attitude, your perspective on world events, your perspective on the people around you, if you were to live out of the confidence of faith that God really is our comfort and strength? That God really is our very present help in times of trouble, whatever that trouble may be for us. How would it change your approach to life, your response to the unexpected events of life when the mountains tremble and the earth shakes and the waters roar? Your response to others' anger or offense against you? Were you to openly admit to yourself and to the other that you can't fix their problems, you can't answer all of their questions, you can't be their God, but God can, and God is. What would it do to your thought patterns, your sleep patterns, your response patterns, if in the confidence of faith you could say, this problem I am facing is really big, and it's really real, but God, I know that You are bigger still and that You are real in my life, and so I'm going to trust You on this, and I will be very interested to see what You're going to do with it and how I can be a part of it. That very intentional act of inactivity is born not of passivity and indifference. It's born of confidence and faith. In September of 2006, Hurricane Katrina devastated the city of New Orleans, the communities along the Gulf Coast. I recall an interview that Larry King had on CNN with Pastor Rick Warren, who spoke of his concern for the children who were involved in that traumatic event. He said, and I quote, the adults are going to get through this. So as a parent, I would tell the parents that you must reassure your children. We're here, God's here, you're here, and we're going to make it together. I would not focus on what is lost, but on what is left. And if you're going to help people get over their insecurity, then you must teach them, whether children or adults, that they have to put their confidence, their trust, in something that can never be taken from them. If you put your trust in your career, that can be taken from you. If you put your trust in your material possessions, those can be taken from you. If you put your trust in your husband or your wife or even your children, they too can be taken from you, as we have seen this week. The only thing that can never be taken from you is your relationship with God, who's made himself known to us in Jesus Christ. He gives me strength. And so I would teach my children that ultimately they have to put their trust in something that cannot be taken away from them. When the earth moves, when the mountains quake and the waters of life roar and are troubled, God alone is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in times of trouble. So be still and let God be God. Friends, that's a promise which takes hold of us as we take hold of it. So I'll close with this story because I think it illustrates so well this delicate, I believe difficult balance that we find ourselves in between our impulse to do something and this command that we are given to be still and wait. A number of years ago, I read a news story about an autistic child who was lost in the woods near his home. Family members and people from the community spent hours desperately searching for him, all to no avail. That evening, the story ran on the evening news, and a man several hundred miles away heard the story and felt compelled to act. So he got in his car, he drove through the night in order to join in the search. And within an hour, he found that little boy and he was returned safely to the parents. Reporters surrounded him and asked how he had done it, how he had found this little boy so quickly. And he said, and I quote, "Somehow I just knew that others were searching in the wrong way. They were calling and shouting and waiting for a response. I knew he would never come out because I have an autistic child myself. So I walked through the woods in silence, waiting to hear him, hoping to hear him, hoping to hear that nearly inaudible clicking sound that he would make. And I was lucky enough to hear him." Friends, admittedly, when we become aware of a need, and even when we read Scripture, I think there is an inherent call to action, a call to do something, and well, we should. But before we act or react on our impulse, we would also do well to learn the lesson to just stand there. Not out of neglect, not out of indifference, but out of the awareness and conviction of our faith that there are things which need doing in our world that are beyond our ability to accomplish them solely by our own efforts and activity. Some other empowerment is needed. And so we need to learn to wait and watch and pray. We need to learn to be still and know that God is God, because we already know too well that we are not. Amen? And let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray your wisdom to know when we are to act and when we are to wait, when we are to speak and when we are to keep silent, when we are to stand and when we are to sit, when we are to do and when we are simply to be, all to your honor and glory and the good of your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord, we pray it. Lord, hear now our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. If you would like to listen to today's message again, there are many ways to do so. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on iTunes and other apps, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. If you prefer a CD copy, call us at 317-923-5458. That's 317-923-5458. Please mention today's date. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel, and at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Wrap up your summer excitement at the Tab Jams Concert Series. Bring your dancing shoes and experience Indy's Queen of Soul, Miss Stacy McCracken, with special guest NBC's winner of The Voice, Mr. Josh Kaufman. Sunday, August 8th, 6 p.m. at Tab Presbyterian Church, 418 East 34th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46205. All concerts are free and open to the public, so bring a lawn chair and a picnic basket and meet some new friends at the Tab Jams Concert. Building a strong community through music.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship in person Sunday mornings at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30, right here on WIBC. Of course, you can always find us online and stream our worship services at tabpres.org.